Well, dear friends, let us turn now in the Word of God for our instruction. We turn to the Gospel of John and the chapter 10. The Gospel of John and the 10th chapter. This is the Word of Almighty God. Come, let us hear His precious and holy Word together. The Lord give us ears to hear and hearts to truly receive His Word this night. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold, one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Amen. So reads God's infallible, inerrant, and sacred word. May the Lord be pleased to bless that public reading of his most precious word to the glory of his name and to the good of our needful and never dying souls. Well, dear congregation, I direct your prayerful attention once again to the words that I read to you in your hearing there in the Gospel of John, and the 10th chapter, and this evening taking for my text the verse 9. The verse 9 of this chapter, speaking here Christ, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. John 10 and the verse 9. Here in this chapter, one of the great themes and motifs is this, is that he is the good shepherd. You notice in the verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Now to be in this sheepfold of the shepherd We have to go through the self-same one who says, I am the door. The only way into entrance of God's eternal kingdom and his flock, his sheep, is through Christ, who is both the shepherd and the door. Christ is many, many things in the Word of God. But he is most certainly here set forth as the good shepherd who layeth down his life for the sheep. You notice in the verse 1, verily, verily, or most assuredly, he says, Amen and Amen. I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, is a thief and a robber. Now, the very context here of these words, these are words spoken not to his disciples, but these are words directed to the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day, who he had encountered in the previous chapter, the chapter 9. You know, is the chapter 9, a man who was blind from birth was given sight. And these religious leaders accused the Lord Jesus Christ of terrible things. Namely, first of all, breaking the Sabbath by healing this man and giving him sight. He not only gave him physical sight, but he gave him spiritual sight. And these Pharisees, these Jews, were meant to be shepherds, but they were not the shepherds of God's people. And the Lord Jesus Christ is claiming here to be the true shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Psalm 23, the verse 1. There is only one shepherd. And this shepherd would come into the world and he would save lost sheep. There are two kinds of people in this world. The Lord Jesus Christ makes that very clear in Matthew chapter 25. There are sheep and there are goats. I know those are not perhaps flattering metaphors for people. But the sheep are God's people. And they have strayed in this world. And we come into this world and we wander off afar from God. We come into this world alienated, separated from the life of God, wandering afar in a field, going our own way like a sheep would go from blade of grass to blade of grass, and then oftentimes getting itself into awful trouble. And that's how you and I are. We have strayed from God. And then there are the goats, of course, who will have nothing to do with the shepherd. And that's the unbeliever. Those are the wicked. None of us are born children of God. None of us are born saved. Yes, all are creatures of God. And all are creatures of time and eternity. But God has his sheep in this world. And these religious leaders here were really the blind leading the blind. They were the goats leading the goats. And many of them had deceived people. We know in the earlier chapter, the chapter 9, as I was telling you that the man born blind that was given sight, we read of his parents that were those who heard of this and saw their son, and well, they feared the religious leaders, and they feared being shut out of the synagogue. What a terrible thing. They wouldn't speak the truth. They wouldn't stand for their son and declare what Christ has done for him. They had more respect for religiosity and high religion rather than the truth. And I hope that's not true for us. We want to know the truth. We want to know the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Now, he had a run-in with these people. And so now he's upbraiding them in this very chapter. That's the context. Verily, verily, I say unto thee. He's addressing them, these religious leaders. Verily, verily, I say unto He that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. They shut him out of the temple. They shut his parents out. They shut a lot of people out. But he is saying, I am the one that is the true custodian of God's sheepfold. Now, of course, as we read in Isaiah 53, as we read at the Lord's table, God's people are described time and time again. They knew this terminology, they knew this phraseology of what sheep were. So it was not something that was strange, that was alien to them. But rather they could identify with the words of Scripture. They could identify with Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. They could identify with Isaiah 53, the verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray, each one has turned to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. They could identify with all of that language. And the Lord Jesus is claiming here not only to be the shepherd and the good shepherd who would lay down his life, but he is the door. And you notice this expression here where he says in the verse 9, I am the door. And he says again in the verse 11, I am the good shepherd. Now, many times in the Gospel of John, we find that little phrase with those three words, or those two words, should I say, I am, appear again and again. And he often spoke of himself that way, I am. The Lord Jesus Christ is the great I am. He is the great I am of Exodus 3 in the verse 14, where God said to Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent you. And if you just look at the chapter 8 here of John in the verse 58, and I'll read from the verse 56, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. I am. Do you see what the Lord Jesus Christ is claiming? My dear friends, the Lord Jesus Christ right here is claiming to be God. The great I am whom Moses saw. The I am. And here in the Gospel of John, we find no less than seven times where this expression, in fact, more than seven times, because we see here, I am the good shepherd. And there are other expressions of this, the I am. But here, at least seven times in a major way, he is claiming to be God. First of all, John 6:35, I am the bread of life. Then he says, I am the light of the world. John 8:12. And then he says, in John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. And here he says, I am the door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. He is the I am. He is the one in whom we have life. He has always been. What he's saying is, I am. God has always been am. Never was there a time that he was not. We are human beings, and we change all the time. And there is a time when we will say our bodies are not. There was a time when we didn't exist. There's a time when we came into the world. There's a time when we were born. And there's a time when we will die. And there's a time that we will go with God, to be with God, either to be with him in heaven or to be separated eternally and everlastingly from him. We cannot say with Christ, I have always been. But he is the everlasting. He is the Ancient of Days. He is the everlasting one. He that is older than the hills, older than the universe. He who never had a beginning and will have no end. The I am. the creator of all things, heaven and earth. And he is the way into his kingdom. He's the door. These religious leaders thought that they were the way into the kingdom. They thought that they were the true shepherds. But he says, no, I am the true shepherd. I am God. I am the Lord. The Lord is coming to this world. Friends, do we realize who the Lord Jesus is? He is no ordinary man, but he's God. God was manifest in the flesh. And here he says in the verse 11, I am the good shepherd. And we're going to think really both on both of these things. He is the door to the shepherd's sheepfold. That's the thought. That's the motif here. And so I've set before you the context. You notice it says there, and he said unto them again, verse 7, we ask, who are the them? Well, we go back to the earlier chapter. These religious leaders, these so-called keepers of the law, custodians of the law. And I must remind you that there are those who are just like the Pharisees and the religious leaders today. There are many that tell you that there are other ways to enter into God's kingdom by your good works, by door knocking, by charitable deeds, by confessions, by all kinds of things. And the Lord says there's no other way. He that entereth in not by the door. Well, he's not of Christ's fold. There are many that try to get into heaven by a false way. And I want to warn you about that this evening. I wonder if you sat here tonight and you wonder how to be right with God. You wonder what is the way of salvation. Well, the Lord Jesus, did he not say in John 14, I am the way. I am the truth, and I am the life. He's the way to God, God the Father. He is the truth. Look no further than the Lord Jesus. What he speaks is truth. He's the only way. And the way is, as we have read here, he lays down his life for his sheep. There's no heaven without the good shepherd laying down his life for a sinner. There's no forgiveness of sins. There's no eternal life. Some people imagine that they'll be saved because of their good works, as I said. So often in the open air ministry, I'm meeting with people that say things like this, you know, well, I do try to do good. I do try to be a good Christian. Well, that's good. We try to do good. But doing good will not save us. Doing good will not get us into heaven. Doing good will do us no good in the end. Of course, we must do good. But it cannot pay for our sins. It cannot atone for the wrongs that we've done in our lives. Now, what these shepherds, these so-called shepherds were doing, they were meant to be shepherds, is that they were heaping commandments upon people. We read how they laid heavy burdens upon men. And, well, everything had to be tithed and beyond even what God's word says. But they swallowed camels. They strained at gnats. They were particular about small things. But they neglected the weightier matters of the law. If you just turn with me to Matthew 23 and the verse 23, notice what the Lord Jesus says to them, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith." Faith in what? Faith in God. Faith in the Lord Jesus. Love, they had no love, they had no mercy. He says, "These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone." What they did is they paid great attention to small things, insignificant things, but they did not love God from the heart. They did everything out of a sense of legal obligation. They didn't love God. They tithed just as much as they had to and no further. They didn't have a liberal heart, and I mean that in the right sense, a generous spirit. They were not kind. They were not merciful because they had never known mercy with God. Blessed are the merciful. Those who have been forgiven and know peace with God have a merciful and a gracious spirit. But that's not how they were. You see, they added to the law, veneer upon veneer. They came up with hundreds of their own laws. So by the time the Lord Jesus Christ stepped on the scene in time, in space, in history, there were hundreds of laws put upon the law of God. And thus, by their vain traditions, they made the law of God void. And so they brought men under burdens. They strained at gnats and they swallowed the camels, the big commandments. Of course, all of God's commandments are important, but you see, they missed the point in all of it. To love God with all the heart, the soul, and the mind, and the strength. And frankly, none of us have done that. None of us at all have loved. Who here has loved the Lord, their God, with all their heart, their soul, their mind, and their strength? None of us. And that's why we need a substitute for sin. That's why we need the Good Shepherd. That's why sinners need the Lord. And that's why He is the way to heaven. Because, friend, He lived the life that you should have lived and I should have lived. But He laid down His life for His sheep. Who are His sheep? Well, He tells us here, "My sheep hear My voice, and they come unto Me." They come unto Me. What do they come to Him for? Forgiveness of sins. He's the Lord. Remember the man who was brought to Him upon a stretcher and his friends lowered him down through the roof? And what did he say? "Son, my sins are forgiven thee." And then the Pharisees, well, they were aghast, weren't they? "Who is this that forgives sins?" Yes, but He's God, isn't He? The I Am. The great I Am has come to forgive sins because He would die for those sins. My dear friends, this is our only hope. Forgiveness of sins through the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know the Lord Jesus proved that He is the Good Shepherd. How did He prove it? By laying down His life for His sheep. And His sheep hear His voice. And they come to Him. Now, I'm sure you've heard the illustration of two twin brothers. And they lived on a farm. And one of them went off to university. And the other stayed home and looked after the sheep. And their voices were identical. In fact, they looked identical, these two brothers. And the one brother came back from university. And he said, "Call for the sheep." And his brother, the one that went to university, called for the sheep. The sheep wouldn't hear him. Same voice, sounded exactly the same. They looked the same. You couldn't tell the difference between these two brothers. And then the one who stayed home and looked after the sheep called for the sheep and they came. And that's the very point. The Lord Jesus Christ's sheep come to him, all of them. They know themselves to have strayed long and far, wandered from him. This man that was healed of his blindness in the earlier chapter, when they interrogated him of who the Lord Jesus Christ is he a prophet? Is he the Messiah? Is he this? Is he that? He said, one thing I know this, I was once blind, but now I see. And that's one of the things we know when God has saved us. We begin to see things that we've never seen before. You see, he gives sight. He gives sight to the blind. He gives hearing to the deaf. There was a time we didn't hear him. There's a time we didn't acknowledge him. But then in time he speaks. And we feel we're far from God. Friends, this is a gospel for sinners who feel themselves far from God. The Pharisees didn't feel themselves far from God. They thought themselves justified. They thought themselves right. But this is a gospel for sinners. My sheep hear my voice. Remember, it was last Lord's Day, I believe, it was preaching. As the Pharisees were aghast and they said, this man receiveth sinners, as if they couldn't believe it. Yes, but that's the gospel. My friend, do you feel and know yourself to be a great sinner? And has it grieved your heart? Does it grieve your heart that you have sinned against God? If not, this gospel is not for you and you are not Christ's. Well, we don't know that for sure until you repent, till you know and you feel your sin. And though you may not feel it, God's declaration upon you is that you are a sinner. Whether you feel it or not, whether you want to acknowledge it or not, you have sinned against God. It doesn't matter what you feel so much. You might try to justify yourself and say, well, I'm not as bad as other people. Well, it doesn't matter what... God doesn't measure you up against other people. He measures you up against his laws. He measures you and I up against his commandments, and we have all come short of those commandments. And God's sheep, Christ's sheep, acknowledge this. And they now begin to see their sin. I remember when the Lord began to work in my heart, he began to show me my sin more and more. I just thank the Lord he didn't show it all at once. I think I'd have died of a heart attack. But it's true, isn't it? When the Lord saves us, he begins to show us of our sin. And in fact, the more we go on with him, the more we are shown to be great sinners. But the more we are shown the greatness of this shepherd. And what a door it is. I mean, doors are so needful, aren't they? We need doors to get into a building. We have to lock this building up. Because if we don't, thieves and robbers will come in. But also doors shut us in. One day heaven will be shut. And we read that many will say, open up unto us, open up unto us. And he will say these words, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Why are you workers of iniquity? Because not only do you sin, but you continue in your sin because you love your sin. But when you go to do good and you try to justify yourself with God, you say, well, God, you must accept me for the little good that I've done in my life. And that is iniquity. To think that your good deeds will cover over your bad deeds. They cannot. God doesn't weigh our good deeds over against our bad deeds. God's word simply puts it like this: all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And I tell you, all that are Christ's sheep will hear his word. They will be brought to hear it without fail, every single one. And they will repent. And you know, while they were reproving and rebuffing him here for his kindness shown to this blind man in the earliest chapter, while that was true, while he did many good things, and the greatest thing he did was to give his life for his sheep, what does he say here? My Father loved me because I lay down my life for the sheep. Did you notice that? Verse 14, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father and lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also must I bring, that they may hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life. Nevermore did the Father love the Son when he was laying down his life for the sheep. Why? Well, because he has always loved his Son. But you know, the Scriptures teach us very clearly the fathers they were, and they were given to Christ. Read John 17. Thine they were, and thou hast given them to me. Isn't that a wonderful gift? The gift of the Father to the Son, that he should give a people. But Christ, the Good Shepherd, must live and die for those sheep. And that's the peace that every Christian has. We have no confidence in ourselves. We have nothing to merit ourselves before a holy God. It's Jesus' blood and righteousness. That is our glorious dress. That is our hope for eternal life. So those of you who are not saved, we want you to know that the Lord Jesus Christ is not only the Good Shepherd, but he is the door. I am the door. And you've got to enter in by that door. Remember what he said in Matthew chapter 7. Strive ye to enter in at the gate. For narrow is the way. You see, when you come to Christ, you've got to strip off all the baggage. You're going through a narrow turnstile gate. And you have to strip off all the good works that you've done. And you have to count them as nothing. There's nothing you can offer God. There's nothing you can commend yourself to God with. But you come as a poor sheep, entering in through Christ, who is the door. That door is only open for sinners who feel so low that there's nothing they can offer God. They come with nothing in their hands, but they simply cling to Christ and all that he's done. You see, it means a humble heart. And that's what Christ gives. He makes that heart. And I pray that the Lord might make such a heart in many. He might give you a new heart. That's what he says. I will give them a new heart, and I will write my laws upon their heart. Ask God. You know, there are many people saying, well, I'm waiting for God to do something. Well, he says in his word, go to him with words. Go to him with prayers. Tell him you feel lost. Tell him you're wandered far. Maybe you've grown up in a Christian home. Well, that doesn't make you to be in the fold of God, does it? Maybe you sat here and you come along to church every week and you listen to ministry. But does that make you to be in Christ's fold? I say none of that makes you to be Christ's sheep. You have to enter in yourself. You can't, nobody else can do it for you. The minister can't pray you into heaven. I can pray for you. Others can pray for you. But you must confess your sin. You must repent of your sins. And here, the Christ is the shepherd, the good shepherd. And as you do so, you will know peace in your heart as you seek him. He says, I am the door of the sheep. He is the entrance. I am the door. By me, if any man, it doesn't matter what you've done, any man, any boy, any girl, any woman, if any man enter therein by, he shall be saved. It's a wonderful thing to be saved. Because you're saved for time and eternity. And he reminds us here that none shall pluck us from his hand or the Father's hand. There's no better thing to be on this earth right now than to be saved. Because you're saved from the wrath that is to come. You're saved from the consequence of your sins. And you are saved to go on to an eternity to be with Christ, which is far better than this world. And if you're not saved, there's nothing worse, because you're lost and you're without hope. Where are you in your heart tonight? Are you lost, or are you saved? Well, the Lord Jesus says, I'm the door. You know where to go. You go to the Father through him. You pray in his name. And you ask for that forgiveness of sins. You ask him to change your heart, to convert you, and to make you anew, and to give you grace to serve him. One day this door will be shut. It's open for all who will hear. My sheep hear my voice and they come to me. And every single one of Christ will enter in through him. The lost will say, I don't need this gospel. I don't need this truth. And they will go to a lost eternity. There'll be no excuses. The Jews had no excuses. They saw his power. And you know, you can be on the scene here as they were. They saw a man that was born blind, healed, thousands fed, the dead raised to life, and still be in darkness. What's the problem? It's the heart. You do not need any more evidence. And your wicked, unbelieving heart to know that there's something wrong with it. And you need the operation of God. You need God's mercy. Go home. Tell Him you have a poor heart and it needs saving. We read in God's word in Jeremiah, Lord, save me and I shall be saved. Turn me, Lord, and I shall be turned. This is God's work. We have sung, salvation is of God. And you remember that. I can't save you. You can't save yourself. Only God can give you mercy and give you sight and ears to hear. He that has ears to hear, let him hear and receive God's word this night. Friends, as I close, the world's ethos is this: live a so-called good life and God will be good to you. Well, let me remind you that nobody ever lives a so-called good life. There is only one that is good, said the Lord Jesus, and that is God, the good shepherd, who laid down his life for his sheep. And all that come unto him shall be saved. He's the door, friends. We must run to Christ for refuge. Amen.